this day holds in promise and possibility for us. And we pray, God, that we will take full advantage of all that you are doing. And certainly, God, we pray that we will do all that you called us to do. Lord, we ask again that you would bless our gathering. And we pray, God, for these who are with us and those who will join us along the way. We ask, God, that you would again open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be the fertile ground that will bring forth fruit in its season. Make all of us fruitful, that we might not envy or be jealous of the other. We pray, God, that we will form a union of believers. We'll fight the fight of faith. And, Lord, that we'll all come through victorious. Help us, Lord, to remember. And we pray, God, that we will help others to remember as well. That if God be for us, that's more than anything that will ever come up against us. And, God, we pray that you'll give us the ability to endure as we are traveling through this life's journey. There will be ups and downs. In fact, Lord, we heard you say in this life you will have trouble. And so, God, help us to fight our way through the troubles and to not live as those who are defeated, but to live, Lord, as victors, conquerors, winners, warriors. And, Lord, we know that this is possible because you've given us what we need to fight. And, Lord, so we pray these prayers, knowing that you hear and answer each and every one. We thank you, Lord, for again these who are with us and those who share with us through our media opportunities. And certainly, God, we pray that their lives will be blessed as well. For we are looking for Zion. And we pray, God, that we will be indeed found in favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're talking about being those who are separated from God and understanding the critical discipleship competence that we're looking for. And so let's go back to the Ephesian letter for just a moment, and we'll talk a little bit there, and then we're going to go over and talk about some things that are perhaps ought to scare us a little bit, but we want to look at some things that will make us think more about our allegiance and our relationship with God. Please remember that your primary course, your relationship is not with this building. It's with God. And it's never going to be any good with people until you have a good relationship with God. And the Bible tells you, you can't say you love God that you have not seen and not love people you do see. And it's got to be something about loving people you do see if you really love God. And that just makes the relationship the relationship. And so in the Ephesian letter, he reminds them that the salvation that we all share is not our own. So Ephesians chapter 2, if you go over to verse 8, and you look at what Paul is telling the church, he says, God saved you, and it's a special favor. But the key is, what do you believe? And we talked about this some months ago. What you believe, who you believe, why you believe. When did you believe? Where did you believe? I really believe that we need to look at when it comes to Christian relationships and Christian relations is where our faith comes from. I really believe that, and I mentioned this to somebody the other day, that it really depends on where you are in this country, what Christianity is presented as. In this country, we have a region. It's not on the map. It's not really identified or recognized by map makers or anything like that, but it's called the Bible Belt. And it's considered that in that particular region, Christianity is stronger. People have, more determined beliefs. I grew up in the South, a little further south. Some people call Virginia the South, but I grew up down south where church was just different. People, when they talked about their faith, you saw it. You know, you didn't just hear people talk about it. There's some evidence to it. There's a certain expectation from Christians. You know, you go to church, or if you believe, or you're a leader, a preacher, a deacon, or whatever, there's a certain expectation that's there. And it's not compromisable. You can't say with exception. And so it is. And then you go out west, they have these cowboy churches and different kind of things, and they tend to be a little different. I was looking into that one time because I think they tried to start one in Roanoke, and they don't talk a lot about Jesus. They tend to be more about fellowshipping and ease of life and, you know, different things. But they're different things, different suggestions as to what Christianity or religion might be. But I really believe that where you are and what you believe has a lot to do with that. And who teaches you has a lot to do with it. You know, who your instructors are. And so when he talks about this special favor that God gave us, but he says you got to believe. So, I mean, what do we believe? You know, for some people, God is almost like a genie. You know, they believe they can clap their hands or walk around something seven times or pray loud enough or jump up and down enough, and God will just do it, you know. And some people believe God is at their beck and call. Lord, you said, if I did, and you know, that's what they believe. Now, can you support that with Scripture is always my question. And supporting it with Scripture does not give us the license to violate the principle. God will do anything. But I also believe that there's some things God won't do. I believe that everything God says is absolute truth. But I believe some folk corrupt truth. And so what he says, and this is critical for us, is that our salvation is tied to our beliefs. It is not one or the other. You can't say you're saved and not have a good belief system in God. I also believe that we believe a lot of things that have nothing to do with God. And we still believe them. You know, some people won't admit them in this particular setting, but there are a lot of things we believe that have nothing to do with God. And some of it has to do with how we were brought up. People told us things or taught us things or we heard it and we believed it. Amen. They call them superstitions. They call them old wives' tales. They call them lies. That's what they are. Yeah. And we believed it because it depends on who said it. You know, we were children. We'd be outside, step on a crack, break your mama back. And we spend the rest of our day trying not to step on a crack. Or if you go around a pole the wrong way, or if you, you know, New Year's, if you let the wrong person in the house first, and if you eat the wrong meals. And we listen, you don't have to raise your hand, but we have been stuck with some of that scary stuff in our head. So every New Year's, everybody trying to cook green, black-eyed peas and corn and tomatoes. And, you know, and we just think, oh, you know, well, it can't hurt. Well, see, saying that is a rattling of your real faith in God. And how many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, but there are a lot of things we do, we can't even explain why we do it. My mom always said, and she had good luck, and then my Aunt Hattie Bell didn't do it, and she broke her foot. You know what I mean? So we just equate scenarios or situations or circumstances to credibility to these sayings. But yet we don't read the Bible like that. I'm here to tell you that a lot of things you will hear people say about Scripture, they've never really read it. They've never really investigated. You know. And so, what the old preacher used to say, and ain't been to church in 25 years. Well, you know, my pastor always said, but you were 8 years old. How much more is your understanding at even 12 versus 8? At 16 versus 24? You know, as you get, you know, we call it maturing. And that's what the Bible says. Paul told Timothy, you got to mature in your faith. And so when we're looking at what we believe and now looking at our salvation, these got to work together. Especially when Paul is telling the church, this is the favor God wants to give you. But you got to believe. You got to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it. You don't have to be afraid of Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door if you know what you believe. You don't have to be afraid of getting into a religious conversation with anybody if you know what you believe. You may not be able to explain all of it. I can't explain how Jesus turned water into wine. I can't explain how Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. I don't know how, but I know he did it. I believe it. I'm not a pathologist. I'm not much of an anyologist. But I know what I read, and I know I believe in. And I've always said that believing the Bible is not going to result in failure. So I say, ain't no heaven. Well, what about lost? What have I lost by loving my neighbor? What have I lost by reading and believing in biblical principle? I haven't lost anything. And the truth be known, what we're trying to do is bring people to understanding. The church shouldn't be confusing. It shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be a place where we're just having these crazy arguments across the table with people who say they believe the same thing we believe. Churches have split over issues that if you took biblical principle and simply applied logic and understanding, Isaiah said, let's just reason together. I don't believe that, I really, and I'll say this in all honesty, I don't think it's necessary that we agree on everything, but I think we ought to believe what the Lord said. You know, I know pastors who are good men who don't want women in their pulpit. I don't want to make that argument. I'm not going to lose my sight of Jesus because you don't want a sister in your pulpit. That's something, you work that out. Y'all figure out what y'all need to do about that. You know, there are people who don't believe that women can be deaconess. That's not an argument for me. I don't think that we need to make arguments that divide us rather than find a way to agree together on biblical principles. Good morning, preacher. Don't you look nice today? Been shoplifting? Very good. It's important for us to understand that what God is saying to us, we need to believe it. He says your salvation and your beliefs are tied together. We're in Ephesians 2, verse 8. So he says what you need to do now is decide for yourself. If you're truly connected with God in salvation, you've got to be connected with God in your beliefs. And you can't pick and choose the ones you believe. Because every word that proceeded from the mouth of God is life. Which means what? We need to study all of it. We need to get all the facts. We need to read. Listen, you want to be a better father? Read about being a godly father. You want to be a better wife, a better mother? You want to be a better servant? Look at a servant's life. Look at what Jesus says to good servants. And look at what he says to bad servants. And you decide. But you've got to believe. You're going to have to staple down, nail down, if you will, your belief system. And this is what he tells me. He said, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. I hear people sometimes, you think they say they sell. I'm serious. I've listened to people. I watch people. Even preachers, I've seen it among preachers. I've seen it among leaders in the church. You think that they are their own salvation. I got myself together. I did this. I did that. You can't take credit for that. You know, most of us, unsupervised, can be kind of reckless. Those of you who drive a car, how many of you speed? When you don't think there's a trooper or a deputy around, if you look down the road and say, ain't nobody out here, you step it up a little bit. And a lot of it has to do with how late you are. A lot of compound issues put us in certain particulars. Amen. If you know you're supposed to be to work at 7:30 and you mess around and got a little behind, you know, whatever happened, I don't know, the coffee got sweeter and you liked it, you want to eat an extra egg or something. And then you get in the car and you got a lead foot it, you say, oh man, I got to make up a little time. Can I tell you something? You can never catch time. Never. Nobody can catch time. Time is so intentional. You can't catch it. If you ever get late, you're just going to be late. Just suck it up and go about your business. Then we do other things when we're not supervised. If our boss ain't watching, we take shortcuts. If we can leave early, we leave early. Put your hand down, James.
You know, and so unsupervised or without any disciplines, look what would happen to us. That's why godliness is critical. Because if you're not going to adhere to this word, if you're not going to take the word of God literally, if you're not going to take the word of God in truth, with integrity, what do you think is going to happen to us? He said, listen, you can't save yourself. Again, most of us left our own devices would be a mess. Thank you, Sister Jess. That's good. We'd be a mess. That's why loving God and holding fast to the profession of your faith. What you said you wanted to be it. What you said you were going to do, do it. When you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. Hold yourself accountable. But salvation of God, that ought to mean something. We can't save ourselves. We can't. Most of us don't even correct ourselves very well. You know, I'm not trying to start no trouble with you. But listen, he said it's a gift from God. You can't take credit for it. Oh, I got myself together back in 71. Ever since that? No, you didn't. You finally just started obeying God. That's all. The only thing you did was finally did what you should have always done. Grandma, you say that all the time. You ain't doing nothing but what you're supposed to do. You know, we're going to say, Grandma, we've been good today. And what that mean? You ain't doing no more than what you should have been doing all the time. And then she said, and you ain't going to keep it up. She's right. We don't. We ain't going to last but so long. And so he said, listen, you can't take credit for it. And then he says, this, and this is again, salvation, verse 9, Ephesians 2, verse 9. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. It ain't. Again, you should have been good all along anyway. You know, there are a lot of good people that aren't Christians. Really? How many of you have met good people that are not Christian? They're nice. They help people. They give a little something to the little kettle at Christmas time. They don't bother nobody, but they don't go to nobody's church. They're not saved. They don't really call upon the name of the Lord. Can I give you a really shocking? You got good people in church that ain't saved. There's a way that seemeth right. You got good people who go to church. They like the music. They like the fellowship, but they're not living according to the word of God. There's not much change happening. They don't want to be bothered with spirituality. They don't want to be bothered with prophecy. How many of you met people? I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. That's one of the gifts. That's word of God. I don't want nobody laying no hands on me. Don't touch me. That's one of the gifts. That's one of the ministries of the church. I don't believe in all that. All that yabba, yabba, yabba. Okay. That's God. That's part of what, you know, the Bible says you ought to desire the more excellent gifts. I mean, I'd rather be fully empowered than a weakling. I'd rather have a shot at it. You know, God's not going to give me and Larry the same things, but we're complementary by having the same God. Yeah. That's why the Bible says in a good house, there are all manner of things. Amen. That's why being a greater church takes everybody. Okay, I needed more amens. It takes everybody. We're not gonna say, Rudy, you all right, but. We're not going to say, but Audrey, you okay, but. No, we need everybody, and every gift makes us a greater house. How many of you ever been in, some of you may have worked in an environment where you have these staff meetings or whatever, and you probably sit in those meetings, and there might be persons who never made a contribution, but they invite them to every meeting. Their chair is right there. That's where Joe sits. That's where Serena sits. And at every meeting, they say, we need all, you know, they can send out a little memo saying there's going to be a staff meeting, and they may never raise their hand. They may never. There's a funny commercial. Well, it's not really funny. It's a commercial right now. I think it's a hotel chain, which shows the guy says, if you want to look important, point with your glasses, you know. And, you know, whatever he's saying is probably not that big, but it makes him look like he's contributing. And then there's the one with the bada bing, bada boom, you know, and the guy said, well, shouldn't we say more than that? Bada bing, bada boom. I mean, what the heck is that, man? But, you know, apparently they brought him in because they think he knows something. The same thing happens in the body of Christ. Every one of you are critically important. You know why? Because you belong to God. And the Bible says he has given every one of us a gift. When he ascended, he gave gifts. And every one of those gifts make for a better house. And what he tells us is simply the fact that if you have not matured, if you've not learned, if you don't understand biblical principles, you don't understand the ways of God, man, you're missing out on something really wonderful. You got to want to be a better godly person. I mean, I wouldn't want to just sit up in the church for the rest of my life and never contribute to the body of Christ. Never make an impact, never have any influence over anything. Like we said a long time ago, you want to have influence, impact, inspiration, instruction. Those things are beautiful. And God's no respect to a person. You can be as brilliant for the Lord as you want to be. You can change as many things around you as you want to change because God will give you that empowerment. But then he tells me, he said, listen, what you need to understand, it's not just because you do good things that God saved you. Because there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of smart people that aren't saved. So he said, now please understand, none of us should boast about being saved, about being good, about being a servant. We should be humble. But then John comes along. So go to John chapter 15. Because we're looking at what separates people. Why do people choose to be separated from God? How many of you know people that you love to see be saved, get saved, you know, give their life to Christ? Again, as I told you before, your offer to people is not just to get them to go to church. It's to get them saved. So don't say, come on, go to church with me. Say, come on, experience the Lord's salvation. Come on, get saved. You know. Yeah, I mean, you can go to work with anybody. You can go to J. Crew and hang out. Where you work at right now? What's that again? Interspec. You can go over there and hang out. You can go, you know, over to Kroger and hang out because Brother Thomas retired. You can go anywhere. That don't mean you work there. You're just hanging out. You know, you can go there every day and just kind of hang around and say, who's that guy? I don't know. What do you do? I see him around here all the time. You're not a contributor. You're just kind of hanging out. Doesn't mean you really work there. Doesn't mean you're having any impact. You're just kind of hanging around. And some of us know people on the payroll like that. You say, what does he really do? I don't know, man. That guy, man, he just gets a check. Some of y'all work with people like that, which make you work harder. You know, and you wish you could do something about it. But the fact of the matter is, just hanging around don't mean you're doing anything. Yeah, people come to church like that. But salvation is more than that. That's why you can't say, just come to church. No, get saved. That's the difference. Because a lot of people, you know, old preacher, you say a lot of folk going straight to hell from church. Straight out of church, they're going right on down there. And the fact of the matter is because they never got saved. They're hopelessly separated from God by choice. Who then can be saved? Anybody. And I really believe that people make a choice not to be saved. I think there are people who will go to church but will not get saved because they choose not to abide by the salvation principle. You'll know the tree by the fruit. That's a principle. And if there's no fruit, then that's something that we need to investigate because you can't violate the biblical principle by saying you're the only exception. That's not what God said. Every word that comes out of God's mouth will return to him with the prosperity that he sent it to accomplish. It cannot come back to him void. There is no way in the world of all the thousands and millions of people that will be saved, you're the only fruitless one. It's impossible. God is no respecter of person. Why would God cheat Addison and just bless Starling? First of all, it would create envy. He would hate him. He'd be jealous. How many of y'all know jealous people? And most of those people you know jealous are jealous really without cause. And most jealousy stems from being lazy. Because if anything anybody else can do, you could probably do too. Were you born playing the piano? You learned, didn't you? Took time, didn't you? So I don't need to say, oh, she make me sick. Thank her she can play the piano. Then take some lessons. How many of you can drive a car? You weren't born driving. You learned how to drive. How many of you have bought a car? What was the first car you bought, if you can remember? What year was it? What was the first car you bought? What year? 47. That's what I wanted. Way back then, he bought a car. He chose to because he can drive. And then probably somebody, little Rudy, think he's something because he got an old 47. Was that the only Chevrolet they sold in 1947? No. Anybody who wanted one could have went down there and got one. And we hate people today. We scratch up people's cars. We damage them. We do stuff to their furnishings and because we're jealous. When in fact, if you want it, do what he did to get it. Get a job. Go to work every day. Buy a Volkswagen if you want a Volkswagen. And don't hate the man who can afford old big Cadillac. He think he's something. He got old big Cadillac. Well, if he got Cadillac money, more power to him. Because he also got to make Cadillac payments. So if you can make Chevrolet payments and park right next to him, who's losing? Nobody. You got to be jealous of nobody. Don't be lazy. And in the body of Christ, don't envy the person who get up and read scripture or lead a prayer or goes to Bible study or that you can see actually being fruitful and growing in Christ because they're doing what it takes to do that. He ain't no better than I am. Oh, let's not be so hasty in that one. Because some of us are working harder to be better. Some of us want to be greater. Some of us don't want to be average or mediocre. You can't hate me for that. What you should do is learn how to get your stuff together. Again, how do we become a great house if we wopside? You know, this crew over here is leaps and bounds, and this crew over here is laying on the ground. How many of you ever had to carry somebody? That's work, ain't it? I saw a little on the news the other day, the Heritage football team was training with the fire department, and they were dragging bodies and stuff. I bet them young boys know now. Oh, they thought they were full of vim and vigor. You drag a man 50 yards and see. And so it is in the body of Christ. Our churches struggle because there's a group that's excelling. There's a tithing group and there's a non-tithing group. There's a worshiping group and there's a non-worshiping group. There's a love the Lord group and there's a I don't care group. We are just all over the place. And then that group don't like that group. And this group tired and sick of that group. And before you know it, we're a house in shambles. And the devil's sitting back going. And you know what y'all always remember? You brought nothing in here. You don't carry nothing out. Don't let your stuff make you a fool. I'm serious. God is looking at us every day as stewards. None of us are owners. Is that quiet, everybody? You sitting there, I worked hard for everything I got. You ain't got nothing. You want to find out if you got something? Die. Because nothing's going to stop when you die. Nothing. We're going to still be here next Sunday. We'll probably think about you. Depends on who you are. What you did, you know, if you've been a good servant, you know, we'll say, man, ain't gonna be the same without old so and so. Say, I ain't gonna call him by name because y'all think, Rev, you're putting the mojo on me, you know. You'd be like, man, Rev, and it'd be bad. We come back next week and that person's going, you say, man, Pastor killed him. He called so and so. So I'm just saying, Trust me, my father died. Nothing changed. Only thing changed is he's not there. The bills kept coming. My mama had to get up and go to bed. We had to leave the hospital. I was telling them down at New Free Spring. My sister's still mad at me to this day. Because when my daddy died, I said, all right, let's go. Sitting around the hospital bed at 8:20 on a Thursday, my daddy died. I let him sit there a little while. I went down the hall and got the people and told them, y'all need to come down there, and they did their thing. And I let him sit there a little while. I think I gave him about 25, 30 minutes. I said, all right, let's go. You can't cling to the dead. We got stuff we need to start doing now. I had to call the funeral home. So we just going to stay right here in the hospital. For what? And my sister got mad. You just going to rush us. We need time. The point is, he has no more. You do. Let's go. So Deacon Walker, she stayed there. We left her. By the time we got down to the car, she finally came on downstairs, but she almost missed the ride. You cannot bring back the dead. But everything we're doing, we must do now in life as servants of God. Because when you finish, if you really want to hear the Lord say, well done, you need to be doing well. Now, and you cannot hate people who are good servants. Most of us in this room, most of us have the same abilities with respect of muscle build or whatever, that kind of thing. But in the body of Christ, most of us in this room have the same ability. Anybody in here could have been a preacher. Anybody in here could have been a deacon. It's training. It's application. It's saying, Lord, I want to do that. Most of what you've done in life started with you wanting something more than somebody else. How many of you started working real early, high school, stuff like that, and your friends didn't? Yeah, because you said, I'm going to get me a job. Your friend, not me. Some of us have worked 40, 50 years. Some of us have not known what it means not to work till we finally retired, and then we went through withdrawals. It's like, man, I ain't got nothing to do. And then most people go back to work, and some people really enjoy their retirement. Some people say, when I'm leaving, I'm done. I've met people who retire, and they retired. They weren't playing. But then there's some people looked at and said, man, I don't know, I'm going to do something. Now they volunteering at Walmart at the little door. I don't know, how you doing? Or they go down to the hospital or do whatever they do. But here's the body of the whole proof. Be faithful even unto death. Whatever you have put your hands to the glory of God, because you never stop glorifying God no matter what you're doing. I'm serious. How you labor glorifies God. How you treat your neighbor glorifies God. How you treat your children glorifies God. How you treat your grandchildren glorifies God. How you serve in your church glorifies God. So no matter what capacity you're in, you're still the servant who must glorify God. Now, John 15, go to verse 5. Look what he says. That's the tragedy of being separated from God and not realizing you don't have anything unless God give it to you. If you choose to be apart from God, you have nothing. Why would you do that? Why would you give up an opportunity to serve a God who says you can have everything and choose not to serve him and end up with nothing? What if God took back everything from you today? Where are you going to pick your argument? Who are you going to go tell? Who are you going to lodge your complaint with? And that's what Job kind of said. Job said, I don't have nobody to turn to but you. Who else am I going to argue with but you? And to be separated from God is a horrible choice, because you will become hopeless. How many of you remember looking for a job and not finding one timely enough? And it got frustrating, didn't it? You put in application after application, and you know what it makes you do? It makes you look at yourself and say, what didn't I do? How many of you have gone to that interview and they said to you, you're pretty much qualified, however. And if you don't walk out of that interview and address the however, every interview after that will end with however. You got to go do something. you leave an interview and only get mad, you're not going to help yourself. You know what to do if you go to an interview and you don't get the job? Ask them, what am I missing? What would have qualified me? So you'll know what to do. And in the body of Christ, that's how you pray at night. Lord, how can I be better? See, everybody getting quiet now. Don't ever think you've arrived, but always be on your way. Lord, how can I preach better? How can I prepare better? How can I serve you better? How can I get you a far greater glory? Lord, what am I missing? Lord, I had a good day today. I want to have a better day tomorrow. Because apart from you, without the hand of God, we have nothing. And if God gets fed up with you, it's called death. God says enough, that's enough. So Jesus says, make no mistake about it. Apart from me, you have nothing. That's not a good choice. You can't live with nothingness. Anybody in here ever, and I don't want to bring up any bad memories, but anybody in here lost what we call everything? You know. Boy, it's horrible, ain't it? You really look at your life and say, man, it don't take long either. If you had a house fire or, you know, something tragic happened, you laid off and then you couldn't pay your bills and eventually it catches up with you, that they start coming to get stuff. You know, if you don't pay them people, they coming. You know, I mean, you can, and your family's only going to help you so long because they're going to start saying stuff like, hey, I got to pay mine now. You can't lose your job and have a $2,000 a month mortgage and think your family going to help you keep your house. They got to pay theirs. I mean, they're trying to say, look, oh, how much is your... It's this much. And then that doesn't count the lights and the gas. So they'll say, well, let them have it, man. And you know one of our biggest problems is letting go because of our pride. Our pride will make us do stupid stuff. I ain't losing my house. It really ain't yours. Especially if you ain't paying them. That reality will come in real fast. But God says this. Trust me. Trusting God doesn't mean you're going to have your way. And I've seen people get mad at God because what they thought was the big deal, God said, ain't the deal no more. You weren't born attached to a house, a car, or a person. People must be released in your life sometime. Stuff must be released in your life sometime. But don't change up on God, because apart from him, you're going to have nothing. Trusting God is going to test you. And you want to pass the test. Here's what Job said. When he has tested me, then shall I. See, we don't like tests. You know, one of the greatest fallacies of Christianity comes in this thing about always being on the top. Prosperity, favor. That's not in the Bible. Great people have suffered great loss and still held to their integrity with God. Joseph lost everything. David had to go live in a cave. He was still a king. Had to live in a cave. A king in a cave. His son tried to kill him. He was still a king. And those of us who look at the hand of God and on certain people's lives and get envious or jealous, You don't see the whole picture. And there's a scenario in every life where you're going to be tested. God has a right to test you. And so what he tells us is, make no mistake about it, if you lose me, you lose everything. And you don't want to lose everything in foolishness. You really want to trust God fully. And I believe that one of the things we have to remember is, again, my discipleship means everything to me. I want to be the child of God. I want to be God's servant. I remember when I was young, my mom and dad were having some difficulties and you know, listening through the vent at night. You know, we heard Mama tell Dad, well, you just need to go. Just get your stuff and go. And so me and my brother looked at each other and said, well, if they get divorced, Granddad ain't going to be our granddaddy no more. And Granddaddy got money. We want to stay attached, so we going with Daddy. we made our choice based on economics. Because my other granddaddy, he was all right, but my other granddaddy, we could go eat free in the store. And so we were wondering if they got divorced, are we going to get cut off from that side of the family? You know, it was kids. You know, kids think crazy stuff. And so we were already deciding where we were going to put our stock. You know, we going with the good stuff, you know. But, I mean, you don't want to get cut off from God. You don't want to get cut off because of foolishness. And so we want to cling to God. We want to hold fast. And what we're trying to realize now, or what we must realize now, is it is faith. It is discipline. It is biblical principle. That if you violate that, who's the fool here? People who are separated from God make bad choices. And I don't think you should make those kind of bad choices. So listen again to what he says. If you love me, do what? Obey me. Learn God. Y'all some smart people. Y'all have associate degrees, bachelor degrees, masters. Somebody might be maybe a PhD around here. I don't know. But y'all smart. You ain't gonna never outsmart God. If you love him. Some of us have been in love before. Just don't say nothing. Some of us have been in love before, and it changed our life, didn't it? And when you fell out of love, it changed your life, didn't it? Who's that? What'd you say? Hurt. Some people are afraid to be hurt again, so they say, I'm not going to do that no more. Dionne Warwick said, I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you fall in love? Get enough germs to bust the bubble, blah, 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 blah. But for them who've been in love, they go, oh, she crazy. I wouldn't do nothing without love. And here's what I want you to understand. Loving God will never, ever be a mistake. Never. You ought to love him. And I mean love him as the scriptures declare. How is that? Y'all know. With your whole heart, with your mind, with your body, your soul. All of your being ought to love God. Why? Because he created all of your being. Let me tell you what real love does. Real love makes us obey. Doesn't force it. It just brings it. It's a part of it. If you love me, you'll do what I say. You know, that kind of thing. If you love me, it's just, you know, and most of us in this room have experienced love at that level at one time or another. Again, just stop rolling your eyes at me. But people you love, you did stuff for them and with them, and no distance was too great. No sacrifice was too great, especially when you're really in love. So I and people will criticize you, but you just let so-and-so use you. I love. And Bill Withers says, ain't no sunshine when she gone. So he says, whatever I got to do. And then... There's another time when he says, my friends keep saying, why I let you walk on me, but they don't realize she means everything. Bill Withers said, that's just how I feel about it. See, I'm not letting you just walk on me, but they don't understand what you mean to me. And some of y'all been in love like that. You ought to love God like that too. You ought to love God where nobody can talk you out of being a greater servant. Being a greater soldier, being a greater steward. That's why some people criticize you about tithing. You look at them and go, you're crazy. People criticize you about singing and following the choir around and following the ministry around and going out into this place. And you look at them and say, no. You don't understand. I love him. And you ought to tell people that. Let people know why you do what you do. Because I love him. How many of y'all ever say, why you let him or her treat you like that? And instead of you holding your head up and saying, because I love him, You go, well, you just don't understand. Tell him why. Why you let him run over you like that? He ain't run over me. I love him. Now, there may be some adjustments. Don't be nobody's fool now. Don't be nobody's fool. You ain't got to be nobody's fool. God wouldn't want you to be a fool. But what I'm trying to show you is, if there's things you do for earthly people because you love them, how much more ought you do for God? Most parents in this room would walk a mile over gas, over glass and run through gasoline for their child. Most parents in this room would give up a meal so their child can have lunch at school. Most of us would give up a trip so our child can go on that little old field trip to D.C. Because we don't want our child to lack for any good thing. And we call it sacrifice. We call it love. Well, then God ought to get the same kind of response. You ought to love him. And loving him is saying yes. He said, if you love me, obey my commands. And there are literally thousands of them. And none of them are going to hurt you. But why would you want to be separated from God because of disobedience? How many of you have ever cut somebody off because of disobedience? Had to change the agenda, change the gifting. I was going to give you dust and dust, but since you're hard-headed, you don't get nothing. One bite out the cupcake and they took it from you. Anybody had that happen? One bite out the cupcake, said something smart. All I had was icing left on my mouth. So I had to enjoy that. Because it wasn't going to be no more. And where I come from, they kept it in your face. See what you could have had right there? Don't touch it. And you just looked at it. Stomach growling. Everybody else eating their cupcake going, how your cousins do. But you hurt yourself. And we're wondering sometimes when we look at people who have lost privilege, it ain't hard to figure out why. You broke rank with God. You start living in disobedience. Your life was going along just fine. You decide, I ain't serving him no more. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other. And again, God said, if you love me, here's what you'll do. And then this is critical. He said, if you do that, I'll ask the Father. And he'll bless you. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is be loyal to me. You know, I laugh with Donald Trump when they were talking about this James Comey thing. And I said to myself, well, really, is there a problem with wanting loyalty? Unless you got an ulterior motive. And I think God wants loyalty. Yeah. Because every one of you belong to him. Not just preachers belong to God. Not just good singers or trustees. All of us belong to God. That ought to mean something. You ought to get excited about that. Ain't anybody been excited lately? Yeah. Because I know my relationship with God means something. I know that I have a family of faith. I know that God is doing something next. How many of you know God is always doing a next? There's still something else. No matter how old you are, God will still do something next. Mm-hmm. God called old people just like young people. But you got to have your relationship right. And now, again, this is the critical part. Those of us who remain, we're over at verse 5 now. Those of us who remain, you know what that means? Longevity. Endurance. How many of you know people that used to be Christians? Used to go to church. Used to sing in choirs. Used to be ushers. Used to be a Sunday school teacher. Used to be. And you say, well, what are you doing now? Child, I wouldn't tell nobody that. Used to go to church. I used to go every Sunday, but I stopped. Too much foolishness. Well, you know, they say since you left, some of the foolishness went down. you do know that, right? You do know that drama comes and goes based on who brings it. He said, listen, you got to remain. The vine is the vine. You can't create your own offshoots. Stay in the vine. Let the vine dresser work. Pruning is a good thing to help us grow. Sometimes we need to be disciplined and realize that there's some things that have now come into our life that probably need to go out of our life. You have to be careful about the company you keep. You know, that's what grandma used to tell us all the time, isn't it? And so Jesus says, and we're about done, try to stay on schedule because people look at me funny. He says, you got to stay with me. Because if you stay with me, watch this, I'll stay with you. How you doing, sir? Bless you. Everybody in this room must understand that apart from him, you have nothing. You will not be the exception. You can't say, well, that didn't work, but it did. Not me. No, anybody who leaves him leaves everything. Why? Because you brought nothing in there. None of it's yours. You ought to be really, you know what, if there's anything that should breed loyalty in us, it is the fact that God has gifted us so wonderfully, blessed us so good. Amen. How many of you ever heard people say, you know, when they got a job and they go buy something, make a big purchase, they'll say stuff like, I can't lose my job now. You know, they just signed a big contract for that house or that 72-month car payment. There ain't no time to get fired now. Ain't no time for no foolishness now. I got an obligation. I got to keep this. You ought to feel that way about God. Because anything you have is his. And if you leave him, you're going to leave it all. Some people stay in a bad relationship because they don't want to lose their stuff. They don't want to lose their house. They don't want to lose their good name. They just hang in there. There'll be no commentary from anybody on that pew right there. Nobody. But I'm telling you now that God is saying to us, why would you want to be separated from me? Why would you leave me? Why don't you trust me for life unto death? Think about it. If God came in right now and tested our loyalties and we failed and then he started taking everything. What are you going to do? You can't go to the north. He's there. You can't go to the south. You can't go to the east. You can't go to the west. You can't go to nothing because all of it's his. The earth is the Lord's. And they that dwell therein. So if you fail the loyalty test and God said, okay, give me back my stuff. You can't stand there and go, I work for this. I gave you the job. My mama left me this. I gave it to your mama. Where's your win? It ain't no win. Apart from me, you have nothing. Where you going to go? Naked you came in, and naked you're going out. And ain't nobody in this room right now want to be exposed as naked. Well, a little job, you know, that little piece of job. But you need that little piece of job. That little piece of job brought you some bologna yesterday. That little piece of job put a roof over your head. Now, nobody in here, these young people, they still live at home, but there's going to come a day when they're going to be asked to leave. Y'all do know that, though. Enjoy it while you can. It will be a day. Yeah. Man, don't you think y'all be moving by now? I saw a nice apartment in the paper. Did you see it? You know, hints start coming. You and that little fellow ought to get your own place. I trust God without reservation because I don't have nothing without him. And we all like something. He said, listen, stay in the vine. Stay with me. And sometimes people choose wrong. I've met people, I've known people, and I'll be done here shortly. I've known people who met people who drove them right out the church. Their boyfriend don't come, or their girlfriend don't come, or they weren't Christian. You shouldn't have been dating a non-Christian. You shouldn't be dating a Muslim, or a Shiite, or none of them Christian. You know, if they're not Christians, you're unequally yoked already. And forever, you don't ever change God because of a person. My boyfriend, a Muslim, he don't want me to come to church. You're a Christian? You've been a Christian all your life? You don't change God for what? And what you going to do when he leave you? And are you going to really adapt those principles that you really don't believe? You know, you were free in Christ. Now you got to wrap your face up and can't show your legs. And I felt sorry for Janet Jackson when she married that man over yonder. Did y'all see her one time when she was out, had all that stuff on and looked like a mummy? I said, is that Janet under there? Now that she done got rid of him, she back on tour. Yay, Janet. Whom the Lord has set free. James, you just gone and lay right here. Plenty of room for you. Apart from him. And so the message is simply this. Let's not drift. Let's not deviate. Let's not divorce ourselves from life. People who are separated from God make that choice. We were all, every one of us, created in the image and likeness of God. The devil is a liar. And he'll try to convince us that we can make it without God. How many of you have had some bad advice from a friend? And you say to yourself, well, that didn't turn out right. You don't need him or her. You don't need that job. I quit. I won't let them people talk to me like that. And then you home with no job. They going to work. Your bill's coming, and now you saying, can you help me? You shouldn't have quit your job. You told me I'm not letting them people talk to me. I ain't tell you to quit. I just told you don't let them talk. You know, and then they start making a little disclaimer. I ain't mean actually quit. Well, some of it, what you told me ain't that I quit, I got fired. You know, and again, let's be honest with ourselves. Unsupervised, we make bad choices. Without some discipline over our lives, we will make bad choices. Why? Because without the mind of Christ, we tend to think pretty crazy. Amen. How many of you can testify by just raising your hand that if it had not been the Lord's counsel, you'd have committed some crimes. You probably would be in the hooscow. You know, it might be that some people wouldn't even be alive if it had not been the Lord's discipline. Told you to put that knife down. Told you to go on to bed. Now leave it alone. He or she ain't here. It's 3 o'clock, but go on to bed. Now don't be sitting by the door twirling the knife, you know, with a little sharpening thing. You know, you got to let it go. And God said, go on and get some sleep now. God told you to stop riding around the neighborhood looking for people. You know, go home. The counsel of the Lord. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you a counselor. Who's going to do what? Lead and guide you. So our problem is we want to buck and shimmy and tell the Lord, I got this. It's right there. Look in chapter 14. I'll get a slide over one, and I'll be done. One of these clocks is wrong. What's the real time? What time is it? 10:48. Okay, this one's right. This one's wrong. Okay, I got to fix my tablet time. But look what he says in chapter 14, one over verse 16. I was reading part of it to you a little earlier. But look what he says. He said, I'm going to give you a counselor. What's he going to do? He's going to lead and guide you. But look what he says. But the whole world don't want him. Why? Because they ain't looking for him. They don't recognize him. How many of you know people that don't like truth? It's full of foolishness. You ever talk to foolish people? Try not to do it too much. It'll drive you crazy. How many of you ever tried to reason with somebody and kept saying, that don't make no sense. Do you realize what you're saying? And they just persist in it. No, you don't understand. Yeah, but you listen to what you're saying. Blah, 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 blah. You say, okay, go ahead then. And what you need to do is go and get the bail money ready. Because that fool going to jail. If you go to them people's job and do what you say you're going to do, you're going to jail. if you go to your husband or wife, or you do that to your child, you go, and no, you don't understand. They done push me. Well, you might ought to look at the Bible and say, be planted, be firm, be unyielding, steadfast, unmovable. Don't let people push you. You know why? Because you do know who's going to jail. They ain't going because they pushed you. They no violation against, you know, making people mad. Sometimes we enjoy it. I mean, you just like to make people mad. Sometimes you do stuff. Say, I'm going to watch this. You know, you premeditate. You say, watch this. I'm going to go over there and watch what Deacon Walker do. And then somebody be looking, and they laugh. But you ain't no crime. What he got to have is discipline and not let you get to him. See, you know, how many of you know, you got to learn how to recognize when foolishness coming. You got to look and say, okay, here she come. Here we go again. And for all of us, the devil is trying to get you. All of us. No respect to a person. He don't care. So you need a counselor to say, hey, psst, don't do that. When God sends a counselor, don't refuse him. Rejoice that you have a counselor. How many of you ever had to go back and thank somebody for giving you sound advice? Telling you, you had to say thank you so much because you helped me. Because I was about to do something real silly. He said, I'm going to give you a counselor, but don't be like the world and refuse him. Because you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. That's a discipline. That you've learned that. And now, because you learned that, shouldn't that make us more clingy and loyal to God? Again, the writer says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, what would have come of us? And everybody in this room ought to be able to shout about that. Because if it had not been the Lord, you wouldn't have nothing. You wouldn't be healthy. You wouldn't have survived your bout with whatever you survived with. You wouldn't be living where you live. You wouldn't be driving. You wouldn't have the friends you have. The Lord has blessed you because you clung to him. And the Bible said that many have fallen. Many have fallen. And he brought it on himself because all of us could have made the same choice. Here's what Jesus said. I would that no man would perish. There's no such thing as getting kicked out by the Lord. The Lord don't want me. That's not true. That's choice we made. And that's why I told you earlier, and I'm going to get out of the way. There's no such thing as just coming to church and being saved. You can't just come to church and think that. No, that ain't enough. True salvation is not where you sit. No. And a whole lot of people make that mistake. I go to church every Sunday. You still ain't saved. I know a lot of people go to church ain't saved. But I don't know no saved people that don't go to church. Y'all missed that. I don't know anybody that's got the Lord's salvation that does not go to his house. Amen. Tony Braxton was right. Love would have brought you home last night. Salvation brings us to the church. That's why the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because I'm saved. I belong here. I fit here. That's why in some places I don't go because I'm saved. Amen. Saved people don't go some places. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. So saved people don't go in the tents of the wicked. And there's a lot of dens of iniquity all over the world. Amen. Amen. You just said, no, I don't belong in there. How many of you have been asked, what are you doing down there? How about this one? You ain't been there in the first place. That old folk who say that. Whenever trouble comes, say, you ain't been there in the first place. What are you doing down there? Well, I just want to see. Monkey see, monkey do. No, old folk always had an answer for whatever you do. Whenever you do something stupid, they always had another answer to go with. You could not out-stupid old people. They got an issue, oh yeah? Well, a fool before the fall and all that kind of stuff. No matter what you said, they got an answer for it. And salvation keeps us in the house of God. We long for his appearing. We love to worship, true worship. And that lady was sitting by the well talking to Jesus. He said, baby, let me tell you something. This is what my father's looking for. True worshipers. How many of you consider yourself a true worshiper? Amen. Now, if your hand didn't go up, you got work to do. Because that's what you want. You want the standard of God. Amen. When you had a job, you reported to the place that you expected to be. That was your affiliation, that you were known as employee number such and such. So in the body of Christ, if you're a Christian, better yet, because you're a Christian, shouldn't you report to your workstation? Shouldn't you report to the praise house? Shouldn't you report? Those things are expected of Christians, to whom much is given. See, and I told you all this before, that verse is not just about material things. That's about your spirituality. That's about your calling. That's about your life. God gave you a voice to sing. He expects you to sing. God gave you a spirit to serve. He expects you to serve. That's why you can do it so well. To whom much is given. God has elevated us. He expects us to serve in elevated capacity. It shouldn't be about drudgery. Lord, I got to sing Sunday. All right, when God takes that gift from you, you're going to feel some kind of foolish. Wouldn't you feel some kind of foolish if you couldn't sing anymore? Don't you like singing? You have a beautiful ability. Jennifer, I remember when Jennifer wouldn't hardly talk around here. And when she started singing, I'm like, all right, old Jennifer, coming on around now, boy. And then she got what she was doing it her way. You know, gifts. Gifts. I was so proud when they said Deacon Walker stood up and taught the class. I know he's gifted. He's a smart man. Use it for God. And then how would you feel if you didn't have that? How would you feel if God never let you be a mother? Three beautiful young ladies. I know they're going to make you proud. They're going to break your heart, too. Especially that one right there. That one. Mark my words. See that look. And then the other one's going to be right behind her. But God is so wonderful to us. And so he says, listen, you can't do it without me. You're saved because God gave you a gift. And then God gave you other gifts. Loyalty to him. God, I'll do it. If my mother and father forsake me, it's the Lord who's going to take me up. You do know people are going to turn on you, right? Amen. Ain't there nothing you can do about it. You can be as good to people as you want to be, if not better, and they're going to make bad choices. It's going to be rumors, innuendo, suggestions. How many of you ever been wrongly accused because people had misinformation? And when you finally talked to them, they both felt stupid too. They said, well, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I listened to Pat Price. She don't know what she was talking about. She was saying stuff about you. I should have known that wasn't true. I should have came to you. How many of you have ever regretted not going to the source? You fell out with people and missed out on that good loving relationship, and then finally God made it so you had to talk to each other, and you both sit there, and last night me and my woman cried together. Because you finally talked to each other. Y'all don't know that song. Don't make me sing. Y'all know I know all them old songs. You don't know that one for real, Yvette? Oh, my goodness. Let me go over here and serenade. Thank you. Give me my key. No. Let me tell you something. I'm done. My time is up. But please understand, you can't make it without God. Don't make that mistake. Don't get separated from God. Don't end up whole. God wants every one of you to be saved to the fullness. And salvation is, now watch this now, and Dr. Dixon, you help me with this. Salvation is not about performance. It's about truth. Because anybody could get in a choir and sing and not be saved. Anybody can get behind a pulpit and preach and not be saved. Salvation is not about performance. Because if only what you do means you save, what happens when you're not doing it? What happens when you don't get to sing on the Sunday? That means the Sunday you ain't singing, you ain't coming? The Sunday you ain't preaching, you ain't coming? Because if you ain't performing, it can't be about performance. It has to be about truth. It has to be about integrity. It has to be about loyalty. Because God has given us stuff, and a good house has a lot of gifts in it. And if nobody has gifts but one or two, that's not much of a house. A house divided. Again, if this side of the church had all of the gifts, how do you think this side going to feel? We don't never look over here. We just always just say, okay, you, your turn. And this side over here just saying, well, they don't never give me a chance. They don't never ask me nothing. They don't never let me have input. They don't let me pray. They don't let me read a scripture. They act like I'm not even here. But we're all in this thing together. And we don't want to be unequally yoked. So we all want to stay with God. We're in the vine. He's a faithful God who's honest, who's fair, who's impartial. He says, if you want to be anything, go for it. I can do is applicable to every one of us. The issue becomes when nobody don't want to do nothing. I can do all things. Then do something. Then the question comes, what do you want to do? And then the next question, when nobody said they want to do it, why doesn't anybody want to do anything? With all this godliness, all of this gifting, all of the ability, all of the anointing, and nobody wants to do anything? That's not much of a loyalty. That's not much of an allegiance. Amen. God, thank you for our time together. We pray, God, that they will remember. We pray, God, that they have received what we have tried to give today, that we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, help us to now decide we want to do everything. We want to be honest. We want to be hopeful. We want to be inspired. But Lord, we want to remember that if we come to you and we're in labor and heavy laden, you're going to give us rest. You're going to release some things from our life. You're going to remove some things from our life, but you're going to restore some things. You're going to revive some things. And God, we really need now to make our declaration of loyalty. I will serve him until I die. And God bless this people. And those again, Lord, who are outside our walls and can hear us through the outlet ministries that we have. Please, God, let us remember, apart from you, we have nothing. We brought nothing in and we'll carry nothing out. It's what we do in this life that makes our testimony. It is our legacy to live to the glory of God and to bring glory to your name. We will do great works and men will see and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let us work now while we have the light of day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Let's get ready for scholarship giving. Praise God.